In Psalms chapter 102. Recently, as was kind of getting ready for the coming up for the conference, I just had one of the songs on my heart that we sing quite often here, talking about "Give me a vision, a heart-stirring vision," and I just started thinking, the Lord just pressed upon my heart, how is my vision recently? And recently I have to say it's a bit cloudy and hard to focus maybe. We live in Puebla and there's a volcano nearby, and you might have seen it in the news and kind of like has activity from time to time that is sometimes makes us a little nervous, but my brother-in-law said something, Bill, about If that thing explodes, you're not getting out. Mexico City is not being evacuated. And, that sticks in my head sometimes. But it made me think about, and sometimes when that thing does erupt, have activity, it's so cloudy. It's so hard to, and I get online and I get on. They have like a camera set up next to it, and I'm like trying to see, how bad it is. And, those things really are important. But something that here in Psalm 102, started thinking about my vision for the world, the unbelievers that surround us all over the place. And in verse 19 of Psalm 102, I just started looking up verses and trying to be reminded of what God's vision is of the condition of the unbeliever, and that my vision needs to be right in line with His. Because I believe that's the only way that I can truly be of service to Him, be a profitable servant, if my vision is in line with His, and I can be pleasing to Him in that way. And verse 19 it says, "For He has looked down from the height of His sanctuary, from heaven to the Lord, behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death." And this just struck me. He looks down and He hears something that I don't hear. He hears the groaning of the prisoner. He sees something that when I see the unbelievers around me, listening to the preaching or walking by our meeting, I don't see them as being appointed to death. I don't hear their groaning, but this is His vision. I look out and I might see or hear indifferent people that are seemingly content with their religion, their philosophies. They seem very satisfied, very actually confident in their beliefs. But the true condition of the believer, as the Bible describes it, there are certain phrases that, I won't go through it, all of them, but certain phrases that are clear in the Bible, that God sees them as blind. He sees them as lost in sin. And in Luke 19:10, it tells us that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. That is a word that we use so often, and yet I just started thinking, do I really see them as lost? And it tells of how Jesus in Matthew 9:36, how when He looked out at the multitudes and He saw them, and He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And I started thinking about being lost, and I started thinking of an example, like when, I don't know if anybody's ever been around in a situation where you're in a big crowd and you see a child and they're obviously lost, and the look of sheer desperation to be found, and that sense of urgency to help them be found. Boy, who wouldn't do it? Who wouldn't just rush to that child, say, okay, what's your dad's name? What does he look like? And yet, do I feel that sense of urgency for those that are truly lost in sin? In Psalm 107, a couple pages over in verse 9, another word that that as I was looking at God's vision of the lost, of the unbelievers, a word that that I kept coming across in verse 9, he says in Psalm 107, verse 9, "For He satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
In verse 10, it says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Recently, in the news, I know there was a story about these women that, I think like for 10 years or something, were bound and held captive by this horrible man. And, you know, you read it or you hear that on the news and it's just like, wow. And you know, this man, you know, I think it was a neighbor or something, you know, he hears this cry for help. And again, who wouldn't go? Who wouldn't help? You know, and be part of that rescue. Okay, let's get you out of there. You know, and I think sometimes our mind even go to the place in our minds to think, why didn't this happen sooner? 10 years, nobody knew, nobody saw, nobody paid attention to little clues, signals, and yet I think that. So many times my vision is cloudy of the lost, of the unbelievers that are held captive by sin, held captive by the condition of their heart and of not being saved, of not having Jesus' forgiveness. And these words, blind, lost, captive, bound, just reviewing them and trying to clear up my vision, it really made me think about how prone I am to have a pretty clear vision of my state, my condition before God. Now that I'm saved, and praise the Lord, I'm so thankful for my own salvation. And the songs in church, you know, here or in Mexico or in Poland, the themes of so many of our songs, but He's freed me, He's made me glad, He's loosed my chains, He's opened my eyes. Praise the Lord. I can and should praise Him for that. But what of others? Do I not see them being bound in those same chains?
Amen.
And that need to be set free? I don't want my vision to be obstructed or cloudy by things that don't matter, things Amen. That I have no control over. But I want these words to be ever in the forefront of my mind and to make me feel the call for the urgent action that needs to be done to help bring them into the Lord's family, into salvation. One of the songs in the supplement that we're using right now for the conference, it says, behold how many thousands still are lying, bound in the darksome prison house of sin, with none to tell them of the Savior's dying or of the life He died for them to win. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption, and release. And it's Isaiah, if you turn to Isaiah 61, I pray the Lord that we do have glad tidings. And I like that those two last words in that song, redemption and release. They can be redeemed from their sins if they will repent and trust in His name, and they can be released from this bondage, from the captivity that religion and tradition binds so many people in. Isaiah 61 verses 1-3 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The gospel transforms. What an exchange. Amen. Beauty for ashes.
Yeah.
Oil of joy for mourning. A garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God.
Do you know the end of that verse? It gives all the glory to God. It says that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, not the planting of men.
Yeah, amen.
We have a small part, but praise the Lord that He gives us a part.
Amen.
That He might be glorified, it says at the very end there. And verses 10 and 11 in that same chapter says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. I pray the Lord for these garments of salvation that he's clothed me with. And my part is to uncloud my vision and to keep refocusing and to see the world as he sees it and tell them of the transforming power of the gospel. Because it is the Lord who will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. He will forgive and he will transform and clothe the sinner with the garments of salvation. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.